you're actually going to step forward and do something that's a little bit scary. They're actually going to tell you a little bit about the Lord and how they've come to understand His marvelous grace. This morning, before we go any further, I'm going to ask Eric to come up and share a little bit about what happened this past weekend. We had a group of kids that went to Brandon, and just want to share with our church family what happened with our Bible quizzing program. Eric.
All right. So yeah, this yesterday, I guess it was. Wasn't too long ago. I'm still a little bit tired. We only got back at 12:30 last night. So we had a day where, quizzing is a Bible memorization program, and we go away to competitions, and it kind of works like Jeopardy, but with the Bible. And so the kids memorize verses, and we're going through the book of Matthew this year. And so I'll just kind of read out where teams placed in the competition. Winkler 1 was first place in the A division. And the team that I was coaching, Winkler 2, came in third place. Winkler 3 came in third place in the C division. Somehow we didn't get this in order because Winkler 4 placed first in C. And Winkler 5, the fifth team placed fifth in the C division, so. So we all had a good time, and continue to pray for the quizzers as they continue to memorize verses. Kind of now is kind of the hardest time for the quizzers as they've memorized quite a few verses already. They're suggested to memorize 145 verses, so it's an average of 6 verses a week. So it starts to get a little bit tiring for them. So keep them in your prayers. That would be appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. And you quizzers, why don't you stand up? We'll give you another hand. Where are you? Come on. Oh, yeah, there's some in the back there. That's good. They're working their way through the Gospel of Matthew, and that's certainly a very challenging book just to appreciate in terms of its context. We also had a bunch of kids went to Youthquake last weekend, and I was hoping to have a report here this morning and give you a little bit of an idea of what happened there. If any of you have ever been to Youthquake before, you know that it's pretty zany and crazy and a lot of fun, but there's also a lot of good learning and a real appreciation for God's grace. Trying to remember who's on scripture reading this morning. Who did we ask? Martin, would you come up and read, if you got your Bibles with you this morning, the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Not 1 to 10, 1 to 11, buddy. Okay.
Good morning. Yes, chapter 6, 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will live also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I also like to thank you for the baptismal candidates for their step they're taking in this life to proclaim your glory. And amen.
We're going to get Martin singing bass here sometime soon. Baptism, for many of you, can certainly remember what that was like. Baptism isn't simply sort of suggesting that this is all of a sudden I'm going to live differently, because none of us can guarantee that. But baptism is simply one of the ways in which we can express ourselves to our friends and our family that we recognize that what Jesus did on Calvary, he did for us. And so we want to be his followers. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, where we have one of the clearest accounts, if you will, in terms of Christian baptism. Romans chapter 6 was written probably some years later, as the Apostle Paul was seeking to help us understand what actually happened the moment that we placed our trust in Christ, and what baptism really signifies in terms of what kind of a picture is it meant to portray for us. And so maybe that has never been clearly explained to you, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that, but the baptismal candidates, we did take time to take them through Romans chapter 6. We also took them through this passage, the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. The church is growing. We're seeing some first-time things happening time and again. God has laid his foundation in the giving of his Son, and the apostles are going throughout throughout Judea and, of course, the remotest parts of the earth to explain who Jesus is. And so we have a very unique incident here, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. She happened, of course, to be the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, to which he asked this question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Of course, that's a question for all of us, because as we open our Bibles and we read not only this account but many accounts in Scripture, we would have to confess there are times when we simply don't understand what we're reading. And I think it was an appropriate question for Philip to ask this Ethiopian official, "Do you actually understand what you're reading?" You might want to underline that in your Bibles, if you will, because you need to ask yourself that question. Verse 31, there's an answer here, and he says, "How can I? How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And much of Scripture needs to be explained to us so that we can appreciate the historical and cultural background in which it was written. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture, probably a passage that we've all heard numerous times, probably at communion services, Easter. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." Of course, this passage has been read, and he's hoping that Philip would explain it to him, and But he still has this question, and sometimes we wonder, could we be so bold in asking, who is this speaking about? Is it obvious? Well, apparently it wasn't obvious to this Ethiopian official. So tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. And so one of the things that these baptismal candidates want to do as they've prepared their testimonies is to be able to tell you the good news that they've come to understand. Your family, your friends, your peers, you go to school together. Maybe you've heard the gospel, but maybe it hasn't been all that clear. And so my prayer this morning is that our baptismal candidates, through their testimonies, would be able to share with you the clarity of the good news of Jesus. Well, as they traveled along, verse 36, they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Obviously, we must surmise from this that somewhere along the way, Philip must have talked about baptism, how the Lord Jesus and others were baptizing, and that it was important to do so to identify with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And so the Ethiopian eunuch says, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Interesting story. I was baptized as a child, and I didn't understand, of course, at that point in time what that meant. My parents, out of their faith, had determined that they wanted to dedicate me to the Lord, and I think that was a worthy thing to do. But it wasn't until some years later that I understood that I, too, needed to take the step of actually obeying my Lord and Savior. And so at the age of 16, I, too, walked through the waters of baptism. It's sort of a special day because that day also my mother joined me and we were both baptized. There wasn't any birds fluttering over my head. I didn't have any sense of anything supernatural as such. The water was cold. But I remember thinking as I watched the group along the shoreline, my friends, my family, that I too now was identifying with what they had identified with. They were cheering me on. They were encouraging me. And I pray that that's what you're going to do for these young people, is that you're going to remember this day in their lives and that you'll spur them on and encourage them to walk by faith. I'm going to ask Melissa to come up at this time and to share her testimony. Melissa came, I got a phone call a little while back, and Melissa had expressed to someone here that she would like to be baptized, and so I gave her a call, tapped her on the shoulder, and said, why don't we have a chat about that, and so we did, and Melissa is a lovely young believer who simply is committed to walking with her Savior, and so Melissa, please come up and share your testimony with us.
My name is Melissa Thomas, and I have grown up in a Christian home all my life. I have become a Christian at an early age. I would go to church and Sunday school every week, and as I got older, I would go to youth with my friends. My mother was always a big part of my life and my faith. She is a huge inspiration for how I think Christians are supposed to act. She encouraged and taught me every day what it was like to love others and God. In 2008, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She continued to love and praise God wholeheartedly. She never once doubted God's plan for her. Her smile never faltered throughout her treatments or when she praised God. I was 12 when she passed away in 2009. At first, I accepted her death And I told myself that God had a bigger plan for me. As time went by, I started to doubt those words. I became angry at God, but when I admitted to myself, I tried keeping up a facade that everything was okay, but it wasn't. Life became harder with school and at home. I stopped going to church regularly and became unhappy and distant. Nothing I did would fill that void or make me happy. My dad and I were always close when I was growing up, but after my mom passed away, it was harder to keep that relationship. We all dealt with her death differently. My brother got into the wrong crowd and was never home, and my dad occupied himself with work. I felt ignored, most days I was home alone for hours. We all got used to the way we were living and didn't realize how much it was affecting all of us. As my dad started dating, it only got worse. I felt ignored and pushed aside. I became angry at my dad for never being around, and we started getting into arguments. When my dad got remarried last year, it was hard to adjust to having a family who was always around. My stepmom made me realize how much I needed a mother figure in my life. At first, I hated it. I thought that I could handle everything by myself. I started fighting with my stepmom a lot, and last summer, I went to Calgary to stay with my uncles and aunts. It helped me realize that this is a new chapter in my life, and that I need to embrace it. Once I got home, things started to get better, and I am so blessed to have such an amazing family. One day as I was walking home, I felt this overwhelming sense of joy. The kind of joy that that makes you want to shout on top of a mountain that Jesus is the answer to life. He's become my rock and my anchor. One verse that sticks out to me is Proverbs 3, 5, verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will guide your path. This passage means to me that you need to give all your worries, fears, and doubts to God, and he will take care of you. It also means to me that you have to trust God fully with everything in your life. I was taught as a child that actions can speak volumes over words. Your actions show others around you how you live your life. I want to live my life for God, and I want the people around me to know by my everyday actions. My mother was a good example of this. When people met her, they could tell that she had the Holy Spirit in her. I want to be that example to others. I've realized that God is the only way for me to truly live a good life. As the disciples followed Jesus and gave their lives to him, I also want to be his disciple and give my life for his service.
You can wait too. Yeah, you can just have a seat there, it's fine. Sometimes wonder, should we send them down to get changed, but then they would miss out on the other testimony, so I think we'll just have her wait until that happens. At this time, I'm going to call Bernie and his son James to come forward. Where are you, Bernie? Okay, come on up. Bernie and James, father and son. James would like to be baptized, and I think it's only right that a father be given the opportunity to do that. So, Dad, come and share a little bit with us.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everybody. This is my son, James, and we hope to, or we will be baptizing him today. At age 4, after having the explanation of salvation from his parents, James asked Jesus to come into his heart. He asked for forgiveness of his sins and prayed with us. James believes that Jesus in Jesus Christ and that he died for his sins. As we went through our experiences in churches and so on, God led us to a church that didn't baptize by immersion, or they also didn't believe in that you could baptize young people or children. But in Acts 8, what we were reading before, the eunuch just said he believed in Jesus Christ, and then the next thing they did is they baptized him. And that's, scripturally, I think that's the next step in your life, with developing a relationship with Jesus. So while we were going through this, we thought that his desire to get baptized might wane. You know, he might say, well, I'll wait for a while or whatever. But that never really happened. He kept periodically asking about baptism and insisted that he wanted to be baptized by immersion because his brothers were baptized by immersion. And so he felt that that was the way to do it. And we felt, too, that scriptural baptism is important. Valerie and I discussed how we would go about researching a church that would provide these needs that he was asking for, and the immersion baptism and so on. And so we made some calls to churches in Winkler here, and only one called back, interestingly enough, and it was Brother Mike that called us back. And so we went to visit him to see whether this would be a suitable fit for our needs and whether it would be something that they would be prepared to offer us, that we would baptize James here. And the answer was yes. So that's how God led us here, and that's why we're here today. And so that is about all that I can say about James's testimony, because he's quite young, and but he's a really good kid, and he loves the Lord, and I think that's the most important thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It certainly is a delight to see young hearts wanting to walk with the Lord. I'm going to call up Stacy this time. You got a lot of family here. I think you're related to everybody in town. Anyway, come on up.
Good morning. As many of you, I grew up in a Christian home, going to church every week. By my side were my parents and my grandparents, reading me Bible stories and praying with me. Later in life, I came to understand that Christ died for me and granted eternal life, to love and live for him. As growing up, I thought about how I'd enjoy being a Sunday school teacher or youth leader, trying to help and encourage others. As life went on, I hit some hard patches. At the age of 13, I lost my sister. Struggling to get back, I knew the only way was with God. There was only one way I could do. There was no way I could do this by myself. This was a huge impact on me. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Just this past year, my grandma was in the hospital fighting for her life. All I can say is she was truly my inspiration. She would show me never to give up. There was so many prayers going out to her, and miracles happened at work. I've seen how the Lord has worked in wondrous ways, and that miracles really do happen. A verse I really enjoy is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. This verse gets me through any day, knowing that he is there by my side and has a plan for me. I can't wait to see what he has in store.
Thank you, Stacy. Just as we hear these testimonies, we realize that God is using a unique set of events in each of our lives to draw us to himself. And so certainly in a group this size, there's certainly a variety of challenges that some of you are facing even today, whether it be health issues, serious prayer concerns, and sometimes for your kids and your parents and so on. And so may today be a time where you'll recognize, even as Stacy has expressed, that nothing's impossible with God. And so as we pray to him, we can trust him to answer our prayers. Kelsey, would you please come forward and share your testimony with us?
Hi, my name is Kelsey. I was raised in a Christian home, regularly attending church. So I had been taught lessons about God and Jesus at a young age. One night when my parents were praying for me before bed, I started asking questions about Jesus and his death on the cross. My parents explained it to me, and I believed and invited Jesus into my life. As I got older, I continued to learn more about God by reading his word and came to a deeper understanding of what it meant to be a Christian. I recognized that I was a sinner and that the penalty for death or for sin is death. There is nothing I alone can do to save myself from eternal death. Thankfully, God sent his son to earth to pay for my sin by his death on the cross. Even though I understood these things, at times I felt like I could have had a stronger relationship with God. I often put off spending time getting to know God, thinking it was something I had plenty of time to improve later in life. For me, getting baptized is an act of love and obedience to God and reflects my desire to develop a stronger relationship with God sooner than later. When I go through struggles and have anxieties about what my future holds, I like to read Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I know that I will still go through struggles and make mistakes throughout my life, but whatever happens, I know that God still loves me and has given me, by simply believing, the gift of eternal life that can never be taken away. Only God knows the number of my days, and when I get to heaven, I hope to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
And all the Taveses are related to the Penners. There's a large Penner clan here, too. I'm going to ask the baptismal candidates to go downstairs and get prepared. And I'm going to call Nat up at this time to lead the rest of the service with some singing. I think there's some special music as well. So where are you, Nat? There you are. Okay. Melissa, family and friends are here. And many of them, in fact, many of us here have prayed for you, for your family, although we didn't know you. We didn't necessarily know, but we're a community that prays for one another. And so your testimony today attests to the fact that God loves you and his grace is marvelous. And deeply encouraged by your testimony that the things that your mother exemplified are things that are encouraging you to continue to walk by faith. That's really what the Lord Jesus did for us as well. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world?
Yes.
Have you placed your trust in him?
Yes.
And he's given you eternal life, is that right?
Yes.
And this is life that can never be lost. And so even when you go through difficult times and challenges and you're not sure, and you're wrestling with different things, the Lord is with you. So based upon your testimony of faith, just give me a second, I'm going to get this hand towel here.
Based upon your testimony of faith,
Bernie and James, come on up here. I'm thinking we should have had a little bit of a bench in here, but it's not going to work. So I was wondering if, okay. So, those of you who have children, and your children have come to know the Lord Jesus and have just a desire to walk with the Lord and have expressed interest in baptism, the one thing that you can do is to encourage them to follow through on that. But even more importantly, not simply encourage them, but walk with them. And so, Bernie and Valerie, you have an awesome responsibility to ensure that your children continue to walk by faith. And so may the Lord bless you as a father, and James, for you as a son. James, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he gave his life for you?
Yes.
You realize that he's given you eternal life?
Yes.
And that's life that can never be lost. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Those of you who are here for Karis's baptism also saw Jody baptize his daughter, and Jody is an elder here at Faith EBC and helps teach the word and loves the Lord, and so it's been a real delight to have Jody and his family with us. It's warmer than the bathtub, isn't it? Yeah. Kelsey, again, it's just been a real privilege to get to know you and to realize that you have a sweet love for the Lord. And as we met with you as elders, we asked you about some of the things that you would like to do and, you know, your interest in helping young people and so on. And it's just a testimony to God's grace in your life. Just a couple of questions. You believe that Jesus is your Savior?
Yes.
And that he grants eternal life to all who believe in him, and in a life that can never be taken away?
Yes.
Who else has been baptized up here from your family?
Ryan.
Ryan, the guy I look up to. And most of us do. Yeah, I don't know what your mother's been feeding him, but I think she's been feeding you the same thing. Stacy, again, just encouraged by your faith and even as we heard your testimony and mention of Alyssa, and you faced a number of challenges as a young lady. And then, of course, the inspiration that your grandmother has left you and encourages you with are just an ongoing testimony that others who walk with the Lord are encouraging you, and so you're learning to follow. And that's what a disciple is, someone who learns and follows the example, godly example of others. And likewise, as we chatted with you and asked you different things and your desire to honor the Lord and in service, again, we're encouraged by that, Stacy. Stacy, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he gives eternal life to all who believe in him?
Yes.
And this is life that can never be lost. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Based upon your testimony of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for coming this morning. It was so nice to have everyone here. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then you guys can head out for lunch and visit with your family and so on. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for the celebration, and for the commitment that's been declared here this morning of these believers to walk with you and to live by faith. Lord, we pray that we would be encouraged in our faith as well, and that we would walk together with these young people that have decided to give their whole lives to you. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
You weren't dismissed yet.
Nope.
That was almost a less-type service. Yeah. Anyway, we're waiting for the other baptismal candidates, and when they come up, what I'd like to do is have Mom and Dad and the candidates up here and just have a word with them in prayer. They didn't hear your prayer, Nat. That's basically what happened there. So, who do I get to put on the spot? Let's see here. Anyway, there's four others who are going to be baptized next Sunday. We actually have, this week we had three gals and one guy. Next week it's three guys and one gal. And so Eric Richter, Toby, Kevin, and Becca are going to be being baptized. And so let's pray for them in this coming week. They've prepared their testimonials, and we've met with them as elders and very encouraged by the work that the Lord is doing in each of their lives. You know what's happening down there, right? You got three girls? Uh-huh. We had three boys and one girl. So it didn't quite, we only had to have two bathrooms in. Or sorry, three bathrooms. I had to have one for Renee and one for Beth. So. Oh, I'm in trouble. Okay, here they come. Come on up, girls. James. Invite you and your parents to come up here. Mums and dads, come on up here, okay? I ask the congregation to please stand with us. Now, these young people, these moms and dads, need your support, need your encouragement, need your prayers, need you as grandparents, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, friends, to stand with them. And if you've heard anything here today, that maybe you've been going through a difficult time, maybe it's been a dry season in your in your spiritual walk. And maybe you haven't understood the gospel, and there was something that was said here today that the Spirit of God is using to challenge you. May you continue to investigate and question. In fact, ask any one of these baptismal candidates, and they'll be able to share a clear gospel message with you. Let's pray together for them, and as you stand, may it be indicative of your desire to walk with them through life. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you for the lives of Stacy and Kelsey, Melissa and James. We thank you, Lord, for their testimony. Their testimony of wanting to walk by faith and to trust you implicitly with their lives. You know the challenges and the uncertainties of any given day, and so we pray that you'll give them the needed strength and perspective. We also pray for their parents today. We pray that you'd grant them wisdom, insight, the ability to walk with their children when those times when they're maybe not as cooperative as they would like to be today. We pray for us who are witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses, as it were, that we too would walk with them and love them and encourage them and reassure them, Lord, that we're going to walk with them through life. And so bless them and bless each one here today, each family that is here in support of these young people. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Greet each other with a holy handshake.